This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We continue talking about the war on terror with one individual, citizen Stephen Bozell. You have taken the president's words that we need to be alert to heart, correct?
Oh, without question. Without question, Phil, and that's what I think we all should do. And when people try to inhibit you from speaking your mind, and when people try to inhibit you from speaking of things that you feel are important, and I think that imposes, that, you know, impedes the rights of all people. And unfortunately, that's happened to me. I think it's happened to a lot of people.
So, in other words, the freedom of speech of people who are speaking in favor of the war on terror is being affected, as well as those who are speaking against it?
Oh, without question. You know, an example is of what happened in my own life, and the reason why I have brought the lawsuit that I brought. This is important because even your very best friends are going to keep you from speaking your mind about the Iraq war and what President Bush is trying to do.
What was it that happened at your home on the night that you're talking about?
Well, I had some friends over, and these are neighbors of mine. These are gentlemen who are named prominently in the suit, Jerry Christopher, also Roy Hutchins, and a few other gentlemen are there. Mr. Hutchins is my next-door neighbor, and I have a ping-pong table in my garage, and it's a place where we're very fortunate. A lot of my neighbors, mostly the men after work in the evening hours, come over and play. And on Friday night, three of these gentlemen from our block, and Jerry comes over. He lives on La Tiena, which is in our neighborhood here, and we were playing ping-pong, and I said something that I've been wondering about for quite some time. If you look at Osama bin Laden, and you look back on the old James Bond movies, and the villains that Mr. Bond had to face, whether it was Dr. No gentleman or the Goldfinger or the Thunderball villain and so on, that it seems Osama bin Laden has patterned himself on these gentlemen, and that he wants to be, you understand, a supervillain or what have you.
And now, you were talking to these gentlemen about this in your garage?
Yes, sir, I was. And I was talking about how it's possible, because bin Laden did a lot of traveling in Europe and so on during his youth, that he would have been exposed to these films and so forth. And the reason why I'm bringing the civil rights lawsuit is because of my exercise, my free speech, that I've been subjected to harassment.
At the hands of these gentlemen that were in your garage, because you're there playing ping pong with these guys, just a group of the neighborhood men, correct, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
And that's when you made the comment you felt that Osama bin Laden may be patterning himself after certain James Bond villains.
Or any of these so-called supervillains, what have you, from the comic books. And so Mr. Christopher, the gentleman who's from the next block, started it. And the comment, I spoke with my attorney about the comment that came from the gentleman by the name of Roy Hutchins, who's actually my next-door neighbor, and he said, and I'm looking at my notes, oh, is that right, Steve? And do you think maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor too? End quote. And immediately I note there was general laughter and there was derision at my expense. And
now, you mentioned something about your son. So this man came up with a sarcastic comment.
Well, it was an effort to get me to be quiet. It was an effort to get me to stop talking about possible ways to get Osama bin Laden.
All right, you mentioned your son was present?
I spoke with my attorney about that as well. She informed me that belittling a man in the presence of one of or all of his children can be actionable, in that I was basically called an idiot in front of my son, who also joined in.
What do you mean, your son joined in?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, he was under the influence of these adults, and he come off with his smart-ass, you know, talk and everything. I mean, excuse my language.
But what did he say?
He said that, and I kept a notation of this.
Are you reading from notes, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
My son said, hey, Dad, bin Laden is about religion and not money like the James Bond villains are. And then he was laughing.
He said that bin Laden is about money, bin Laden's about religion and not money.
Bin Laden's about religion, not money, but he also laughed. Okay, my own son laughed at me.
Now, all right, you're talking about taking legal action against these men, correct, suing them, right?
Well, let me explain something. I have a First Amendment right to express my political views, and right now our country needs all the help it can get. And those men laughing at me infringed on my human rights to free speech, and I was talking about a solution.
And so what are you suing them for? And our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Bozell, for people listening at home.
Certainly.
1-800-449-8686. You mentioned in your garage that these guys, that Osama bin Laden may be trying to pattern himself after comic book supervillains or something, and they laughed at you.
That is correct, and I'm certainly, I'm not against people laughing, okay? But when it comes to a violation of my civil rights, which is the same thing that happened to Mr. Rodney King or some of these other individuals, Dolores Blazingame is my attorney in our suit.
Well, who are you suing?
I'm suing Roy Hutchins, Jerry Christopher, all the men who were there, Sean Tolan, Mr. Peter Freer, Don Horrocks, and Stephen Bozell Jr., who is an accessory on account of my rights being violated.
And now, Stephen Bozell Jr. is your son, and you are naming him in this lawsuit, correct?
That is correct. And I can tell you it is a very painful thing. But my civil rights were being violated by those men on that night that I'm talking about.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with me, a man who has filed a lawsuit against six or seven neighbors. I don't know how many men are named in your suit, sir.
Well, it's about, I've got one, two, three, four, five, six individuals.
Six men, including your own son, are being sued for violating your civil rights. When you brought up the possibility that bin Laden was under the influence of James Bond movies, perhaps, they laughed at you.
Well, they laughed, but in a derisive way. And as I mentioned, the comment, hey, Bozell, maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor, this kind of a deal. One of the other gentlemen mentioned something about, maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. And that was said by Mr. Christopher.
Maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy, meaning the Riddler from the Batman comic series?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by the same thing happened to Rodney King?
Well, it was like a gang mentality. What happened to Rodney King was that he was set upon by police officers who were violating the Constitution of the United States of America by beating on him. And the same thing happened to me. I was set on, like on account of a gang mentality, that once this Mr. Christopher said what he said, it became a feeding frenzy. Roy Hutchins said about everything, you know?
All right, so they all started laughing at you. Mr. Hutchins said the thing about Lex Luthor bombing Pearl Harbor. Mr. Christopher, the Riddler killed Kennedy, and it became a big laugh fest, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
And is that it?
Pete Freer and also Don Horrocks. I can give you the incidents from the lawsuit.
Yeah, please.
All right. Pete Freer and Don Horrocks started doing the James Bond theme music. They started going, humming it.
And what do you mean by that, humming it?
Well, they were going, And
oh, the James Bond theme.
Yes, sir.
So in the middle of all of this, guys saying the Riddler bombed Pearl Harbor or whatever.
No, the Riddler, they say the Riddler killed Kennedy and Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. And then they started going on the James Bond theme. And this is what it said. And it was at that time I did become emotionally distraught. And I did run out of the room, and was also mentioned in the lawsuit. And I went into our master bedroom, and I laid down there, and I guess I just cried. And my wife was in the room reading, and she didn't show any interest at all either. So it affects the entire family.
Can I ask you, when you say bin Laden is trying to pattern himself after the arch-villains of the James Bond movies and comic books, why did you expect those men to do anything but laugh? You know?
Well, let me answer that question, Phil, because I've been asked that. We are living in a time where we need all the input we can on bin Laden. And we need some solidarity on the issue. And when someone offers some ideas on bin Laden and how to catch him, it's very... I think unpatriotic to laugh at that person. So if they want to laugh at me, fine, but I have it within my rights to not only file a civil action, but to turn those names over to the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. All right?
But, I mean, these are long-standing...
No, I wouldn't do it, but I do have it within my rights.
But to turn their names over to the FBI and Department of Homeland Security would cause enormous hardship for those people.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't do it, but I do have the right to do it. So if these guys want to laugh at me, fine, but I can technically turn their names over to the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, I would offer this to you, Mr. Bozell, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I understand that you care about your country and that you wanted to talk about the possible influences on bin Laden in the hopes that it might catch him. When you mentioned that he might have been under the influence of James Bond movies, in other words, he wants to be a supervillain, Maybe you should have expected the laughter.
Well, not at a time like this. No.
So you didn't expect them to laugh at you?
No, not really. But my attorney said to me, Dolores Blazingame, she said, you had every right to expect that those men would take you seriously. And as the result of them laughing at you, now they're in trouble. Because I'm going to sue them. And if I wanted to, I could give their names over to Tom Ridge and the Department of Homeland Security.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. In this day and age where people are still debating the war on terror, this man was talking with his friends about what could possibly be influencing Osama bin Laden. He feels it's possible that bin Laden's travels as a young man through Europe exposed him to James Bond movies, and maybe he wanted to become a super villain. In much the same way that we see these characters in the Superman comics and the Batman comics, the Riddler and Lex Luthor. His friends laughed at him, causing him emotional distress, and he says, infringing on his civil rights of free speech. He's suing them, and is also threatening to take their names to the Department of Homeland Security. Are we turning into a country of tattletales? Are we turning into a country of the Fahrenheit 451, which, you know, turning in our neighbors? By the way, Fahrenheit 451 is an actual book by Ray Bradbury about the burning of books. It was not influenced by Fahrenheit 9/11. That's the other way around. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
My guest is Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, what do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I have my own construction contracting business.
In Corona, California?
Yes, sir.
All right, you are suing some neighbors of yours for laughing at you, or as you say, derisively laughing at you, when you mentioned that you thought Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the James Bond supervillains, and therefore that may be what's motivating him. They laughed at you, made comments about Lex Luthor, and so on. I want to ask you a question before we take a phone call. First of all...
And let me just make one point, Phil.
Sure.
These people, if they continue to laugh at me and my suggestions about how we can catch bin Laden, I'm entitled to be put into witness protection.
You mean witness protection that the FBI uses?
Yes, because I'm making political comments and they're laughing at me, and that is trying to inhibit my free speech. And so if they keep doing it, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, then at some point I can apply for the witness protection program through the local... through the post office or something, or through the local FBI, I think.
And all right, well, that may be, but what point does my telling a joke stop being a joke and become a violation of your civil rights?
Well, it's a good question. You're allowed to tell a joke about someone, but once that person's making political comments and you make a joke about that, it becomes a violation of the civil rights of the person when they start to feel... You know, it's on the edge legally, but when they begin to feel unsettled, you know, bad about it, and like you're making fun of them, then you're infringing on them. I can make a joke about, say, if you wear a bad shirt or you're ugly or what have you, that's not a violation of the rights. But if I'm talking about politics and you make fun of me and I feel infringed upon and I feel like I've been terrorized or what have you, then you're allowed to.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane. Go ahead, Jane.
I think this man has got a real problem. The problem with our country is we're too happy. This gentleman was in a garage with a bunch of his friends. He said something right off the wall. They laughed at him, and now he wants to sue them. I think both him and his lawyer need a good psychiatrist.
Well, are you an attorney?
Pardon me?
Are you an attorney, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Well, and my attorney tells me that I'm within my rights because I was making a political comment about Bin Laden. Okay. Then they started to laugh at me. If I was just saying, oh hey, you know, like Mr. Christopher is a friend of mine who walked on the
lip. I guarantee you, sir, Mr. Christopher is no longer a friend with you if you're suing him because he made a comment in your garage.
Well, but I believe
in
my country first.
And your wife is a smart one. She didn't even talk to you because she knows it's nuts. What you're doing is nuts.
Ma'am, I believe in my country first. Okay, I did not make.
So do I.
Mr. Christopher was born with what they traditionally call. And I don't mean any offense, a hair lip or a cleft palate, and no one, I've never made no joke about it, okay?
Well, good for you.
All right.
I don't think he's going to sue you if you do.
Has he had surgery for it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, he has, but there's a noticeable scar like what the actor Stacy Keach has.
Okay.
I can make fun of his hair lip. What's that again, ma'am? I'm sorry.
You've got a real problem, and it's not your civil rights, sir. I really think you've got a real inferiority complex. And I think you better grow up, and I think you better talk to somebody before you do something else stupid.
No, but the point I'm trying to make to you, and, you know,
there is
fine.
No point. You don't sue people for making comments when you're playing ping pong.
I have never commented on this man's hairlet scar or anything like that.
That has nothing to do with it. You're not even making any sense, sir.
Let me jump in if I can. You've had the good taste not to comment on this man's physical scar. Anybody that makes jokes about things like that is really stooping to the bottom of the barrel, unless, of course, I like to say, unless, of course, we're talking about how fat Michael Moore is. You know.
Well, I happen to be a great admirer of Mr. Moore, so I find that offensive.
All right, but let's just put that aside. But to say you are not allowed to make fun of me because I'm making a political comment.
See, that's what most people don't understand. The lady is right. If the man had just been talking, you know, about, hey, you know, I think that the Kings are going to win the hockey play, the Super Bowl of hockey or whatever they call it. But when I began bringing up national security issues.
That national security issues is not, if you're not making any sense, sir.
Ma'am,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Yes, I am.
Bin Laden is a comic book character. It's not funny. You're not only insulting our country, you're insulting the men fighting it because they're not fighting Mickey Mouse.
Ma'am, I did not say Mickey Mouse.
Very dangerous.
I said Thunderball, Mr. Dr. No, if you've seen these films, and so on and so forth.
It has no relevance. You're making no sense. Your friends laughed at you because they really thought you were kidding. Nobody that has any intellectual...
It is a far...
even listen to you. They'd laugh at you.
It seems to be quite a stretch to say that Osama bin Laden was influenced by...
Why is that, Mr. Henry?
Well,
I mean, the man traveled extensively in Europe. He's from an affluent family. He was exposed to American cinema and British cinema at a very early age. Why wouldn't he, at some point, have just gone off the deep end and wanted to become, you know, Mr. No or
Dr. No?
Dr. No.
Guy is serious?
Ma'am,
is he
I want to tell you, I am speaking of political matters, and for you to laugh at me is
I don't know what
violation.
Else to do. I've talked to kindergarten children that makes more sense than you do, sir.
Ma'am,
I live in the mountains and I have more sense than you
well,
do.
Well, I happen to be better informed than the average American. If a person is laughed at, if you laugh at a person for making a political statement, it is like urinating on the American flag. It's like desecrating.
Oh, stop.
No, it's not. Well, first of all...
You need a psychiatrist, sir. You really do.
Ma'am,
Your wife had the right idea. She didn't even comment on you.
Hey,
and for someone to go in their bedroom and cry, how old are you?
I beg your pardon?
Are you old enough to know what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 38 years of age, and I can tell you the person
who
needs...
Well, you know what? You're not going to have any friends much longer if you go around suing them because they don't agree with you.
Ma'am, the person who needs a psychiatrist is Mr. No, not me. And
you mean Dr.
Person.
No?
The gentleman from the...
Why are you having this gentleman on your show? He's wasting valuable airtime.
Well, he's wasting our court's time with these lawsuits. I appreciate
Absolutely.
Your phone call, Jane.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. It's Dr. No. We're talking with this gentleman. He believes that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by James Bond villains. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show.
The Bill Henry Show is back.
On the show tonight is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who's filed a lawsuit against five individuals from his neighborhood who were playing ping pong one night. It was a very friendly evening for these gentlemen. And talking about the world events, as many men do when they get together and have a few beers. At one point, Mr. Bozell, if I get any of this wrong, please correct me, Mr. Bozell. But at one point, Mr. Bozell said that he felt that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the villains from James Bond movies, and was perhaps that might be a place to start looking for clues as to his whereabouts. He was, according to his lawsuit, laughed at derisively. One of the men said, yeah, and maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. Another man said, maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. Before we get to another call, you mentioned an incident from 1992.
Yes, sir. That's in the court documents. Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. In 1992, I was talking to a crew chief of mine, a gentleman by the name of Cliff Pettigrew, and I said to him at that time, because I had seen Bill Clinton on the televisions, and he'd been playing saxophone and all of this nonsense, and I said, I wouldn't vote for Bill Clinton. He looks to me, and I said the words, and I don't have them in a recording, and I don't have them wrote down, but I know I said them. And Pettigrew claims I didn't say them, but I know I did. I said to him, Bill Clinton looks like the kind of guy that would have sex with a Waffle House waitress if he thought she had a gold tooth. Now, it sounds funny, but I was serious. And he laughed at me. And he said, Bush needs to be defeated. I'm voting for Bill Clinton. And he laughed at me.
Maybe he was laughing with you. It is kind of funny.
No, he was laughing at me like I was an idiot. Then we found out, yes, he sure did. He had sex with Jennifer Flowers and Monica Lewinsky as well. And if I'd known then what I know now, that I could have taken it, and I was saying something that all of a sudden everybody thought was terrible, and they impeached him for it.
It is a funny comment.
Well, it is,
I mean, to say that he looks like he'd have sex with a Waffle House waitress if she had a gold tooth is a funny comment.
And but he laughed at me, not with me. And there's a difference. When they laugh at you, they're laughing because they think you're funny. When they laugh with you, they don't like you. Or no, it's the other way around. When they laugh at you,
When they laugh at you, they're being derisive.
When they laugh with you, yeah. So,
all right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Richard. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Stephen, all I gotta say is you need to grow up and get a life. You are a lousy father, suing your son for laughing at you. Sir, I am laughing at you derisively. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting the court's time because somebody laughed at you and you didn't like it. And you want to go get the FBI to put you in a protective witness program. You're an idiot.
Well,
idiot.
Argument is all name-calling. My argument is based on law.
Your argument
which says
is based
that
on
I can't sue as a result of someone infringing on my free speech.
You know what? I'll tell you what, pal. If you came after me, I'd go after you and your lawyer. I'd own your house and she'd be disbarred.
Yeah. What are you going to sue me for? What'd I do to you? See,
If I was one of those guys in your garage.
Oh, they can't touch me because they were on my property when they did it too.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're a loser. You're a loser.
Really?
You're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, fine.
With stuff. Why don't you grow up and get a life? I care about my country too. You're a poor example. You're sending a very poor example to your son.
No, I'm teaching him how to step.
You're setting a very poor example.
I was in
you're
my
an
workshop.
Idiot father. You're an idiot husband, and this is not. This is not the way to give your son an example of a man and what men do.
If you want to be sitting there when Bin Laden comes for your wife and kids, you can just sit there and keep on watching TV, I'm going to be doing something about it, okay? You're the kind of guy that'll sit there and score right through a home invasion burglary.
Because you don't like what they said.
Yeah, you know what you do?
You're going to sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
You want to throw
down?
That's a very immature
attitude. You need to grow up, pal.
I wouldn't be talking smack to a man who's, I sound like I'm probably younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah, well, you want to throw down with me, that's fine.
you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing at you on the air.
They're laughing at me off the air. I'm the one that's on the air. They're laughing at me off the air.
I'm laughing at you on the air. I'm laughing at you on the air.
Yeah, but they're laughing at me off the air, not on the air.
Huh?
What are you talking about? They're laughing at me on the air. They're not on the air.
Everybody's listening to you and laughing. They're saying, what an idiot.
But that shows you're an idiot.
You're crazy. Why don't you do something with your life?
Okay, gentlemen.
No, he's an idiot.
No. Just listen. It's name-calling, okay?
Look, I was in my workshop working on a magazine rack I was making out of balsa with my wife, April, with a Freddy Krueger mask come on up behind me, and she goes, I'm the Al-Qaeda, ooh, like that, making fun of me all the while.
So what, are you going to sue your wife, too?
When I care about my
country... Are you going to sue your wife, too? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife?
Would you sue your wife for that, sir?
Why don't you sue your wife? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife, too?
Would you sue your wife, Mr. Bozell?
I will discuss it with my lawyer, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You're a loser.
I don't have the right to discuss it with my wife. Okay.
No. Are you going to sue your wife?
I want to discuss with
Are you going to sue your wife for coming up behind you in a Freddy Krueger mask?
I will at least check out my rights.
This guy is unbelievable. unbelievable.
Mr. Henry.
I mean,
you laugh at me. You know something here? Okay, listen to this. Both of you gentlemen can go spinning on a spit in hell.
Oh, he hung up.
He hung up, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, with everything that's going on in this world today, and we certainly
don't need people getting their feelings hurt. I mean, it's one thing to get your feelings hurt. You want to sue and go into witness protection?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Get a grip.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
That needs some professional help.
How come this gentleman's still on the air and I'm not?
You hung up on me.
Both of you can rot.
Is he gone?
Yeah,
what happened?
He's gone again. And I'm hearing crickets and a campfire.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what?
Wait a minute. Listen, I don't want to talk to this guy. Mr. Bozell?
Yeah, my own mother, Joyce Bozell, phoned on my cell phone and said, hey, Steve, this is Saddam Hussein. Bite me.
You going to sue him, too?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
I'm sorry?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
Because I want to be by myself. I've been laughed at and laughed at.
Well, you know, the way that you act, it's no wonder that nobody wants to be with you.
I don't want to be with them. That's why I'm out here having a campfire.
You know, your son sure doesn't want to be with you.
All right, listen, Richard, thank you very much. You want to be alone, so you're out having a campfire.
Everyone's laughing at me, yeah.
But why'd you call my show?
I wanted to be alone, but I also wanted to talk, you know, to talk to someone, but not have them laugh right at me.
What you cooking on the campfire?
Why don't you go kiss my bear? What is that?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay, very funny. Okay. Why don't you kiss my bright red rosy, huh?
Hey, Mr. Bozell, I can still hear your campfire. Mr. Bozell? I can still hear your campfire, man, when you're trying to be alone, huh?
Shut up.
Oh, come on, man. I'm fooling around.
Quit it. All you people out.
Hey, Steve.
What?
You figure Bin Laden lives in caves because he wants to be Batman?
You could kiss the devil's private area.
Bin Laden's living in caves because he thinks he's Batman. That's why he's living in caves. Mr. Bozell will sue. And now he's checking his rights with his attorney, Dolores Blazingame, to see if he can sue his wife because she snuck up behind him in a Freddy Krueger mask and said, I'm Saddam Hussein, booga booga, whatever. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's going to take a pretty significantly large pair to sue me.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I was just checking out the villains from the James Bond movies to see exactly what it could be that Mr. Bozell is referring to. Is Osama bin Laden trying to be Dr. No, Red Grant, Arik Goldfinger, or Emilio Largo? I mean, you know who these guys? These were the big guy. The guy from Thunderball was a special agent for Spectre. That was it. Remember Spectre? Alan Spectre. And then there was Ernst Stavro Blofeld. Oh, cool. Yeah, that was the guy who was the bad dude in Dr. No. And he was a bald guy played by Donald Pleasence. Donald Pleasence, I don't think he's still alive, is one of the greatest actors to have ever lived. The guy was a psycho. He played these psychos to the T. Sort of a neurotic, bald-headed, fidgeting, nervous guy that you never trusted. And sure enough, he would stick a shank in your back the minute you turned your face on him, right? Except he did play a good guy in The Great Escape. In The Great Escape, he played, was he the mole? He was one of the guys that was going blind, and it was his job to make counterfeit money. He was a master counterfeiter, but the problem was he was as blind as a bat. But he made fantastic documents for the guys in the prisoner of war camp so that he would dummy up German passports and ID cards and...
I'd like some tea. That's all I require, really. Just a cup of tea, please.
And he had that kind of nervous face. What a fantastic actor. He was just a lot of fun to watch. He also played the doctor in at least the early Halloween pictures, the one that tried to keep Michael Myers committed. Woo-hoo!
I spent the first 7 years of Michael Myers' life trying to get to him, and the next 7 trying to keep him locked up.
And then I think he's the guy that shoots Michael in the first movie, and of course, Michael Myers comes back to life. At what point do you just give up? Okay, go ahead, kill me, slaughter me. Obviously, I can't do anything to you. Dun, dun, dun. Halloween 81. Michael Myers. Oh, yeah. Halloween 82. Michael Myers. What's up? Halloween. Yeah, at what point do you just go ahead, carve me up, man? What do you want to put a hypodermic needle in my eyeball? Whatever you got to do, I can't kill you. Kill me. And plus, at what point does a cat like that take over the world? Wait a second, that's who Osama bin Laden is. Michael Myers from the Halloween movies. Can't kill him, can't do jack squat to this guy. Burn him, shoot him, hack him to bits, drown him, blow him up. Get Star Jones to mount him. Nothing will kill him. Okay, it's time now for our flashback from our show last night. Carl Misla, a writer for the London Standard, was on to talk about Mary-Kate Olsen and her anorexia and how this is a horrific disease brought on by the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. In fact, Mr. Misla's own daughter has anorexia. He knows she got it just to spite him because she could be one hell of a JCPenney catalog model. Anyway, she's on an IV, and he doesn't understand why she has anorexia, other than the fact that he kept telling her she looks like a pig and eats like a cow. Here's Carl Misla from our show yesterday.
Phil Hendry Show.
I'm having a really hard time understanding why you think that you can treat child of any age with disrespect the way that you treat your child.
Karen, I don't come from the touchy-feely generation. I come from a hard generation of Brits.
Well, okay, that's fine. But you know what? I have an 11-year-old that did modeling from the age of 2 to the age of 7. You know, I let her eat just about anything that she wants.
Oh, my God.
Now, stop and listen to me. My daughter is 5 feet tall and weighs 63 pounds. She is very small for her, you know, very thin. But you know what? She plays sports, and she takes care of herself. She'll go out and she'll ride her bike. You cannot sit there and tell her.
You're saying your daughter is a dwarf?
No, she is 5 feet tall.
Well, she's a dwarf then, technically.
No, how old is she, Karen?
She just turned 11.
Oh, she's only 11.
She's only 11.
No, I would have it checked for dwarfism, and I don't want to alarm you.
What do you mean dwarfism?
And she's been told she will be 5'10" by the time she's done growing.
All right, can I ask you a question then? One parent to another. What do you do when you walk in, you see your daughter sitting there with a bowl of chili, and she's had the unmitigated gall to grate cheese over the top of it, right? And she's also got the tortilla chips.
Well, you say, you know what, let's go outside and do something. Let's go ride a bike. You don't sit there and look at them and tell them that they're disgusting, they look like a sow, and they look like a cow. You know, I mean, that's what makes a child I mean,
now, wait a minute, Karen. You sound like you're about to cry. And you've got a child that could be a dwarf. Cry for yourself, not for me.
Oh, come on. The lady said her daughter's 11 years of age. She's a little girl.
Does she have the puffy hands?
No.
She may have dwarfism. And dwarfism is certainly nothing you want to mess with. Now, there are hormones.
Well, you forget about whether her daughter has dwarfism or not, and let's talk about the real issue here, the anorexia, and the fact that you might have probably brought it on in your own daughter by calling her a sow and a pig because the little girl wants to have a milkshake every now and again.
I gave up a lot of my career. I'm running around the country. I'm in an airport terminal right now. I've got to fly off to interview some hillbilly in the Sierra Nevadas who has got some idea for a movie. Can I ask you a question, Karen?
Yes.
What does your daughter sound like when she speaks? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Did I upset you, dear? Did I upset you?
No, I mean, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, I just have a really hard time with someone that can sit there and,
well,
basically, you brought it on yourself.
If you've got a 32-year-old daughter the size that's 5 feet tall, I think there might be dwarfism.
She's 11.
She's 11.
I'm sorry, I thought you said she was 32.
No, my daughter is 11. She just turned 11. And she
Well, then that's perfectly normal. Why are you complaining about how big she is?
She's not
complaining about it. I'm trying to express to you that, you know what, my daughter goes down to McDonald's.
At least your daughter's not a pig like mine, you know.
Well, your daughter's the way she is because of the way you are.
You got daughter with anorexia with a tube in her nose, right?
Let your daughter out and let her play sport.
Well, she got, when I walk into that hotel room and she gives her the hospital room and she gives you the wink like, I'll show you, you piece of...
Well, she's probably really disgusted with you. Because you know what? If I was in that position, I'd probably give you the same look. Because you are disgusting. I don't care how hard you are and how hard your life was and how you were brought up. That is just plain disgusting to be able to look at someone and tell them, you're a cow. Now, I am 6 feet tall myself and only weigh 125 pounds. My daughter is not ever going to be fat. You know, and you need to stop. Look at yourself and look at yourself.
You're 6 feet tall and you weigh how much, dear?
She says
almost 125 pounds.
Really? Well, you must be a knockout. You must be a bloody knockout. I'm being very... I'm trying to be respectful, but you must be a bloody knockout.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There is Carl Mesler. He's our favorite insulting, sarcastic British journalist. Talking about that girl. She must have dwarfism. 1-800-449-8686. There's more to come on the Phil Hendry Show. We've got our mailbag tonight again. We got a follow-up with Don Parsley on what's been happening with him ever since we had him on the show last. And hey, guess what? It may be legal to eat peyote in Utah. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Just a little itsy-bitsy Michael Moore update. Okay, I know. Not going to obsess on it. Just want to give you the update on how we're doing with our interview request. We want to get him on the show, talk with him, interview him, debate him, beat him up, whatever he wants. Get him a milkshake, whatever he needs. He said on the Letterman Show, I'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know, real... big talk. Real big talk about his stand on the war on terror. Okay, fine. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, right? That's what he said. That's what the man said. We got him on tape. So we called up his publicist, and she called back today, and she said, we've submitted your request to his people. Now, I don't know what's with submitting requests when a guy comes out and says stuff like that. Unless, of course, it's just a lot of hot air, which is what, of course, I've been trying to say about this guy for months. Hot air, man. Salesmanship. And it all boils down to a little world called narcissist, as in trying to kiss your own rear end. As in, I got a dislocated sacroiliac because I've been bending over trying to kiss my own butt for so long that it down looks up to me. That guy is full of hot, hot, hot air. Jared, just a nice warm breeze, man. He's not just full of hot air. That guy is exhaling trade winds. Michael Moore isn't just full of hot air. Every time that guy blows out, man, it's like the Santa Anas. Yeah, yeah, sure, man. You'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Yeah, uh-huh. And then he has the temerity to say to Letterman, oh, when I said that it was a fictitious war and a fictitious president, I didn't even know it was a fictitious war. See, he was kidding then. Because he's in front of Letterman's crowd, and he knew that Letterman, if he wanted to, could lean in and rip him a new ass, right? But instead, he decides he's going to play the clown. Well, I was just kidding around. I didn't know. However, the whole crack about, what was it, the New York Times? He was deadly serious about that. I got my information from the New York Times. Anyway, as I said, we called up the publicist. We said we'd like to, you know, get an interview. And she called us back today, and she's going to submit the request. Now, I'm betting money. I personally believe he would be insane to come on this show with me. Because there's no way that he's going to win. And he knows that. He's not going to do any radio interviews, because any radio interviews, I mean, he is so utterly without any factual base for the things that he believes in, that even lightweight, guys that are lightweight talk show hosts, if they wanted to, they could really tear him an ass. But how many guys are willing to even go toe-to-toe with it? They think he's, like, got some valid points, like he's coming from a real serious place. I know where he's coming from. He's counting the dollars pouring in on this movie, man. Like I said, he's going to make more money on the war in Iraq than anybody. He'll make more money on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan than Halliburton. I swear to God he will. So why does he want to come on here? All that's going to happen is he's going to look stupid. Because you know I'll come armed to the teeth, man. I will have his quotes. And I won't just be quoting him. I will have the chapter and verse, the footnotes, and all of the discrepancies between comments that he made like 6 months ago and comments that he's making now. Cracks about how if there were some brothers on those planes after 9/11, they would have kicked the terrorist ass. But then he says we got too many black guys in the army and it's a real oppressive war and the poor minorities are being beat up, being inducted into the army, right? So which is it, man? Are you saying the brothers are really good at kicking ass, but you don't want them in the army? And what does that mean anyway, that there's too many brothers in the army? Do you realize that the African-American has fought tooth and nail to be a part of the U.S. Armed Forces? To be a part of an integrated army? And now that we have African-American soldiers, you're saying we got too many of them? So what do you want, more white guys that can't kick ass because the brothers kick ass better? But that means that we're going to lose the wars. And by the way, Michael, which is it? Do you want more soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, as you said? Or do you want fewer, as you're saying now? See, all of this stuff is documented. All of his stuff is chapter and verse footnoted. And if he comes on my show, I'm going to throw all this stuff on him. And first of all, a guy that big can't be too quick on his feet. You imagine how slow he thinks? I mean, first of all, there is a certain layer of fat that the human body can tolerate. But when it starts to press on the brain, I mean, I swear to God, he's so big that he's got literally there's a fat problem in the interior lining of his skull. So anyway, we call him up and we get this. We'll send along your request.
Well, you want me to try?
What?
You want me to try?
What are you going to do, Dickman? You got to call him up and do what?
Well, you say you can't get through. You want me to try to get through?
What are you going to do, man? I had Chris was on it and I was on it. Janice was on it, okay? What are you going to do?
I mean, I could try. What can it hurt? But'll it hurt?
Go ahead. If you want to try.
Can I do it now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is that the number?
It's the number right there.
Let me see here. You don't mind?
No, I don't mind. Go ahead. I'd love to see you try it. You're calling Endeavor, right?
Is this the number?
Yes, that's the Endeavor Talent Agency.
Endeavor Talent Agency.
All right, Michael Moore, please.
One moment, please.
What's she saying?
She said one moment.
I know that, but what is she doing?
I guess she's transferring me.
Michael Moore.
Wait a second.
What did you do? You hung up on him.
Well, wait a minute, man. What do you mean you're getting through to Michael Moore? Was that him?
That's what he said. You said you want me to try.
I've been trying for 3 weeks. I can't get this guy. You're all of a sudden getting him on the phone? What, you close personal friends?
God, choke on it, why don't you? Are you choking on it or you're just glad to see me?
Don't get smart with me, Dickman. Call him back.
Well, you didn't just hang up.
Call him back. You ready for this guy?
this number?
Yes, for the 15th time, that's the number to the Endeavor Agency. Call them. Feeling pretty glib, huh?
I'm just trying to show you how to do it.
Shut up.
Endeavor Agency.
Yes, Michael Moore, please.
One moment, please.
Are you putting me on?
I'm just telling you, you've wanted me to try.
Michael Moore.
Hold on, give me the phone.
Michael Moore, hello.
Yes, Mr. Moore, this is Phil Hendry, and I'd like...
What a jackass!
Well, what are you do?
What are you doing? I just had him on the phone, you jackball!
Are you trying to tell me you're getting through to this guy and I can't?
Well, you hung up on you, says you heard it was your big, fat, stupid voice.
I don't believe that. Did you call him yesterday, Chris? And you did too, Janice?
Yesterday and the day before.
Call him back.
Well, wait a minute, you're just gonna...
Call him back, Dickman.
Jesus, okay. La 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 la. Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her hair held my hand.
Will you shut up?
Endeavor Agency.
Michael Moore, please.
Hold on, please.
Michael Moore.
Mr. Moore, hold on. This is Phil Hendry, and I just wanted to say that...
What a jackball. He don't want to talk to you.
Call him back.
I'm not calling back again.
I said to call him back.
Okay. The summer wind came...
Will you snuck it off with the Frank Sinatra?
Endeavor Agency.
Michael Moore, please.
One moment.
Michael Moore.
Yeah, Mike, hi, bud.
How you doing, bud?
Yeah, look, Henry,
Keep that guy away from me.
Yeah, I know, he's a real piece of crap.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Michael, don't even say... All right, you win.
I just told you, just...
Yeah, no, you win. Get out of here.
The summer wind came blowing in, woo, from across the sea.
Why don't you let me try? 1-800-449-8686. Hang up. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up on our show tonight, Phil's Mailbag, we've got a follow-up with Don Parsley, who was a guest of ours recently. He said that he was so sure his wife was going to die of cancer that he went ahead and started having an affair with some girl at work, and now that his wife has recovered, he'd still like the girl to move in. Now, that's how we left it with Mr. Parsley, that he wanted this girl to move in with him and his wife. And we'll find out how things have proceeded since last week or the week before when we interviewed him. That'll be coming up on our program, the follow-up. And we'll have a little update on Tommy Lee. Is that Tommy Lee Jones, the guy from Tommy Lee? Tommy Lee Jones is the freaking actor.
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee Jones isn't an alcoholic, is he? He's not an alcoholic throwing records and CDs around the dance floor at the Bellagio, is he? I don't think so. Tommy Lee Jones is a respectable actor. He's not some junkie with a 9-foot-long putt that he hit in a golf tournament here the other day. It was quite interesting. 1-800-449-8686. Jack Ryan is a U.S. senator, and I guess he went to some strip clubs, so the Republicans are going nuts because he went to some strip clubs with his former wife, the chick who was on Star Trek who played one of them Borg. She wore a skin-tight silver suit and was like... Quite slamming, as you young people would say, bud.
Yeah.
And do you understand? Jerry Ryan is her name. Now, the Republicans are going ape because one of their guys is human, too. Understand what's happening here, folks. Understand why the Republican Party will never be a majority party in this country because they have positioned themselves thus. See, it doesn't take a lot to be a political party. It doesn't take an enormous leap of intellect or philosophy to constitute a political party. All you have to do is have a sensible plan, a sensible approach, shall we say, to self-governance. You don't have to become, well, we were speaking of superheroes, you don't have to become Lex freaking Luthor and the Riddler. You don't have to become that guy with the two faces and Mr. Freeze. You don't have to be that cop from T2 that was like a puddle of blue liquid or whatever he was. Just have a nice, sensible approach. But no, not anymore, no. Well, we have to be a superhuman, man, in every way. And you have to position yourself so ridiculously opposite the other party that you wind up looking like a jackass. And this is what's happened to the Republican Party. I often talk about the party I belong to, the Democratic Party, making its mistakes. And, oh my God, have they made them. But now let's talk a little bit about these guys on the Republican side. See, ever since Clinton did his number there with Monica, the Republicans, and of course it was before that, they seized on this moral high ground. This ground, you know, we're faithful to our wives, we're this, we're that, we're something else. We're not human, in other words. I'm going to tell you something, and this is a statistic that will be backed up by every single solitary doctor of psychology and psychiatry in America today. Are you ready for it? Now, you understand I'm saying doctors of psychology and psychiatry. So what I'm saying is the reality of human behavior as we know it, as it's been studied for the last, say, 150 years, from the time of the alienists to the time of the so-called psychotherapists to today's modern counselor. This is state-of-the-art psychology. It is almost assured that if a man is married for any great length of time, say 30 to 40 years, he will stray from his marital vows at least once. When you have, for instance, a mother and a father who've been married 50 years and you're all agaga over the fact they've been married 50 years, I hate to break the news to you, daddy's probably strayed a couple times. Hard to believe, isn't it? I know he loves your mother. Like, it's got nothing to do with not loving your mother. It's got nothing to do with it. He'll never leave your mom because he loves her. And because she's the only woman for him. Now, sex for men is a whole other category. It's a whole other category of expression. It's an anthropological need that is not addressed in modern society. The need of men to have sex outside of a monogamous relationship is not even encountered and addressed in a healthy way in modern society. We are simply told, don't you do it. Don't do it. And we wind up getting alcoholic, and we wind up committing suicide, we wind up feeling guilt-ridden, using needles, well, all of the things, for instance, that myself and Mr. Pelton do on a regular basis, and both of us are very loyal to our wives. Well, sorta. I am. I'm kidding, Chris. I'm kidding! All right, it was me. Jesus, I'm trying to cover up for you. I'm sorry, honey, but her name was, actually, I don't know her name. See, honey? Didn't mean a thing. No. Honest to God. Now, here comes the Republican Party. Now, here's what they do. Well, we don't do that, see. And not only that, because we don't do that, we can tell you, a woman, what you're going to do with that fetus. And not only that, we can stick our nose into the bedroom of you gay people. And not only that, we can stick our noses in all kinds of places, even though we don't believe in big government. They have set out for themselves, in other words, an utterly impossible, and I'll underline that word, impossible task. They want to be the party of loyal husbands. Well, it ain't going to happen. You can be the party of human beings and a party that supports marriage and a party that believes in marriage and as I do and a party that is, one that believes in family and all of those things. But you got to understand what you're dealing with. You're dealing with human beings. Now, here's what they're doing with this guy, Ryan. And it's not even clear that he cheated on his wife. What is said here is that he took her, allegedly, to some in some divorce papers, took her to some sex clubs. Republican National Committee member Mary Jo Arndt said Ryan misled her about the contents of the divorce records, which include allegations that he insisted that his then-wife, actress Jerry Lynn, go to sex clubs with him. Ryan's denied the allegations. The records were released Monday after a judge ordered the documents unsealed. Ryan and his ex-wife both fought the release, saying it would be harmful to their 9-year-old son. I feel he betrayed all of us by implying there was nothing detrimental in the sealed records. Understand that you're never going to get any pea brain in the Republican National Committee to realize that there is nothing detrimental, really, about a man's past so long as he is trying very hard with his present. That's number one. Number two, it is true it's going to hurt that boy. Do you think they care? No. What they want to be is the party of superheroes that they never have sex with anything or anybody other than their wives in a missionary position once a week, and she's wearing socks. That's what they believe in. They don't believe in anything human. They don't believe in anything that's even remotely human or attainable by human beings. They're still banging on about gay marriage and abortion. They just absolutely ruin any chance they ever have of grabbing the momentum every time they whip out that end of their, shall we say, party appendage. In other words, they're just as unrealistic as the Democrats are on my side of the aisle, my Democratic friends, who have no plan whatsoever, no plan whatsoever, on how to deal with terrorism, fuel shortages, joblessness, and the economy if we have to deal with a terror attack. No plan whatsoever. All they are anti-Bush. So on the one side, you got Republicans that think they're all squeaky clean like Mother Teresa, unrealistic, ignorant, and it'll get them defeated because nobody wants to sit around with some stuffed shirt, some guy who's holier than thou, okay? Nobody wants to kick around with some cat you know is full of crap. And on the other side, we got the Democrats who couldn't find it with both hands and a flashlight in the closet, and they're spewing all this stuff about Bush this, Bush that, Bush something else. And then you should have had a conversation I had today with another one of my actor friends over at King of the Hill. Holy jeez. Nice guy. And this is the... Cat says to me, well, this Iraq war is a real piece of crap. Oh, jeez, you guys got to start in again with this, huh? No, you don't understand, man. I said, look, dude, as long as we're needing oil out of that part of the world, we got to deal with the politics of that part of the world. And in dealing with the politics of that part of the world these days means with guns. Well, we don't have to have oil from that part of the world. Oh, really? What do you suggest? Well, we have plenty of oil over here. Well, we need plenty of oil over here. We got reserves that are supposed to be emergency reserves that'll last us a few years. And then we got Alaska. Well, we can drill in Alaska. Wait a second, man. I thought you cats didn't want to drill in Alaska on account of the caribou. Now you want to drill in Alaska. Will you guys get straight on something? Anything. Guys, are we on daylight savings time yet, or is it still standard time? What do you think? All right, 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com.
Endeavor Agency.
Oh, shut up. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You're going to run out and get Clinton's book, huh? Janet's going to run right out and grab that, man. She's going to run right out and grab it, if you'll pardon the expression. Bill Clinton's book. Now, I don't read memoirs when a guy's still alive. I don't know. Call me stupid. Call me nuts. When I read some cat's memoirs or the biography of Haley Joel Osment, crawling his way to the top of the pier. The guy's like 12. What kind of a life am I going to be reading about? Well, it's been really difficult. My mom made me get out of bed and everything. And then another time. Okay, thank you. So, not that Clinton doesn't have a story to tell. I'm sure it's a good story. But, you'll pardon me. I would like a little bit more of an objective. I believe in history, and history is not written, contrary to some popular belief, it is not necessarily written by the winners. History is written by the objective observers of history. Yeah, the winners write the history of the immediate time, right? Like America wrote the history of World War II. Well, we're finding out more and more about the things that happened in World War II. Most of it's like consistent with what we believe, but there were a few little tidy details that were omitted. Like, for instance, we had black airmen named the Tuskegee Airmen who kicked some ass, and stuff like that that they sort of overlooked. Just a little, little tidbits. But I don't want to run right out and get this Clinton book because, hey, man, You pardon me if I wait until a guy croaks and somebody can take a bigger view of his life. You know, Bill Clinton on Bill Clinton. All right. I mean, it's like George Bush on George Bush. It'd be like Abraham Lincoln on Abraham Lincoln. Jeez, you know what kind of a read that must have been? It'd be like dull as hell. Yeah, yeah, he's got a lot of great stuff in there about how he came close to kicking Osama bin Laden's ass. Well, you didn't, baby. You didn't, all right? Coulda, shoulda, woulda, baby. You know what, man? Horseshoes and atom bombs, like the man said. You came closer than anybody. Well, what is that? Maybe we came closer. Maybe he was one of those guys jumping up and down and going blue, 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 in front of one of those caves in Afghanistan we went in back there in 2001. Whatever, man. I wish to God you had gotten a guy. Like I said last night, it would have made life a lot simpler these days if you had. I suppose we could have an investigation into that. If you got that bloody close, why didn't you get him? Jeez. You know, the discussion of this war in Iraq, I'm going to swear it off, man, pretty soon. I'm not going to talk about it ever again because it's gone beyond anything that's even reasonable. It's utterly insane and ridiculous and on top of everything else, kind of dumb. Bush, 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 man. What didn't he do? What did he do? He didn't do this, and he didn't do that. And Clinton's getting off scot-free. I voted for the cat, man, but let's be fair. If he got that close, why didn't he get him? And what's this all this stuff about how Bush this and Bush that when, for God's sake, there were like three major attacks on Americans during the Clinton administration. And people with a straight face, I mean, you can talk to them, and with a straight face, they'll look at you and go, yeah, Bush. He really screwed this one up, didn't he? Huh? Like I was saying, political parties, let me tell you just, you know, just me talking. Can I just, because you're going to be voting, I know many, my son's going to be voting for the very first time this fall. We're very proud of him. Political parties are supposed to do only one thing. Only one thing. They're supposed to make your life a better one, consistent with the words of the Constitution. Okay? Well, actually, the words of the Declaration of Independence, sort of the spiritual forebear to the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know what that is, right? That's what life. You get to have life. You get to have life. You can live. Now, if you screw that up somehow and you get yourself shot or run over by a truck, well, we're sorry, but you get to have life. What, you mean like a fetus, Phil? No, man, I'm talking about when you're out in the world, you get to be alive. So we'll get cops, they'll protect you, and you get to, as a child, you're entitled to the protection of your parents. They are legally committed to your protection and to your well-being. And then there's liberty. You get to be free. Well, what does that mean? Well, within reason, okay? You can walk around, say what you want, do what you want, so long as you're not crapping all over somebody and you're not, you know, breaking a speed limit and stuff like that. You get to be free. You're a free man. Life and liberty. And the pursuit of happiness. Now, that's the one that throws people. Most people think that they're entitled to have a driver's license. No, you're not. You got to go out and take a test for it. Most people think that they have a right to cable TV. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. Some people think it's like a right that they have to get cable. No, you don't. You got a right to pursue happiness. You can go out, get up off your fat ass, go out, get a job, make a couple of bucks, buy yourself a little time, go out, build a business, whatever the hell you want to do. Whatever makes you happy. So long as it doesn't get in my way or anybody else's, see? When you run afoul of other people, well, then you got a problem. And you're never going to win that war. As long as you're living in a society, you'll always lose when you run afoul of the society at large. Everybody here is trying to move along in the same direction, okay? We got a thing called America, and we all want to move along in the same direction. You want to pull in another direction? Good for you. If everybody else doesn't want to, that doesn't mean that you get to just stand there and scream and yell and say that your rights are freaking being violated. Up to a point you can. But let me give you an example. There's a guy right now in the United States of America who's a Muslim truck driver. Now, dig this. The guy refused to haul beer because it's against his religion. Well, they fired his ass. Guess what he's doing? He's suing. Because it's violating his religious rights. Let me explain about religious rights. Religion is tolerated in any society that's a free society insofar as it does not impede or impose itself on people or impede the progress of that society. This society is run by a commander-in-chief who is not a cleric. He's a civilian. He's a layperson. He may belong to a religion. He may not. But he's a layperson. Now, we may have priests that are elected to Congress, but Congress is not a religious body. This is a secular society, and we tolerate religion insofar as it keeps its nose clean, isn't blocking abortion clinic doors, isn't shooting doctors in the back, isn't running around and screaming and yelling and lynching black people and all of the other things that have been done in the name of religion in a society. You don't get to do that. That's number one. Number two, because you have a religion, it doesn't mean you're entitled to a job. It doesn't mean that because of your religion, you get to have a job. No. It means that you can't be kept from a job because of your religion. Now, here's where some people don't get it. They're not keeping that man from that job because of his religion. He is refusing to do the job because of the religion. He is refusing. Now, I'll tell you right now, if this guy's lawsuit sees the light of day, I give up. I mean, I swear, I'll become a Muslim then. Then why not? Jesus, I can come on the air here and start spouting a whole bunch of mullah crap, and nobody can can me, man, because it's like my religion, dig? This guy's there saying, I don't want to haul beer. He's a beer truck driver, for God's sake. But he don't haul beer because he's a freaking Muslim. Well, get a load of this, Muslim. You're going to haul beer, or you don't work there. Same thing with a Christian, same thing with a Jew, same thing with anybody that's running around with a little funny-looking hat, or any cat with a funny-looking hairdo, or anything that they do with their religion, right? Burning, you know, eating peyote. Speaking of eating peyote, it's now legal in Utah. But anyway, you know, anything. You can do what you want to do. But you are not allowed to impede commerce. You're not allowed to impede someone's business because of your freaking religion. I don't care if you're a Muslim. Now, see, here's the other thing. Guy says, well, I don't dig this call to prayer thing. You know, where they, on a loudspeaker, I don't care. What do I care about that? I got to listen to church bells, don't I? What do I give a crap? Well, let's pick the fights, people. You want to pick your fights? Pick them smart, baby. Don't start running around like a dummy just being a xenophobe and anti-religious because you don't dig Muslims. It ain't about that. They can be anything they want to be. They want their religion is fine, insofar as it does not impede the business, the commerce, the conduct of life here in the United States. I got a business to run. Well, I don't drive trucks with beer because I'm a Muslim. You're fired. Well, why not give me another job? Because you don't run my business. I do. You understand me? I didn't keep you from working here, man, because you're a Muslim. I hired you, knowing full well what your religion was. You should have been apprised of the business that I'm in here. You do not have a right to this job. You don't have a right to impede my ability to run my business. So take your rag on your head, take your ass, and get out of here. We got enough problems in this world without people creating new ones. And this is the creation of a new problem. This is not dealing with an old problem. This is the creation of a new problem. This is like those, what are those people that don't take blood? Jehovah's Witnesses? What are the ones that don't give blood transfusions? Hey, let me tell you what. You want to bleed to death lying there like a stuck pig in a pavement? You go right ahead. But don't you dare tell me that I can't give a blood transfusion to your kid. Okay? That's where your right to be a parent just ended. You are not going to deny the state the ability to render aid to a child because that child needs a blood transfusion because your cockamamie religion won't allow the kid to have a blood transfusion. So you can lie there and bleed to death for all we care. We're going to help the kid. We have to take into consideration a minor who is not of age, who needs to be rendered aid. You have not done that. You have decided to forego your responsibility as a parent in the eyes of society. Now, these people that want to sue to say, I got a right to my religion and my kid ain't getting no blood transfusion, I tell you what, pal, maybe in the next life, you ain't keeping that kid. Now, is that how we do it in this country? That's how we should do it, in my opinion. That's what I would do were I God. Were I the dictator of all of America. And that's the way, in my opinion, if you interpret the Constitution, that's the way it should be. You do whatever the hell you want to do with your religion. Have fun with it. Chant, pray, sing, cry, jump up and down, wear a colored robe, go get money at the airport, whatever you want to do. You're not entitled to block my execution of my life, my business, my pursuits. Bingo. You see? So when we say you got the right to pursue happiness, man, it doesn't mean you are guaranteed any happiness. It means you get to pursue it. You get to chase it. And insofar as it's not screwing with anybody else, you have at it and you have a good time. The minute you get in somebody else's way, then you better step back and we got to take another look at the situation. Now, that's a pretty simple thing, and that's what a political party is supposed to help you do in the United States of America, achieve those three things, right? But what do these guys do? They want to stick their freaking noses in everybody's business to the point where you don't even know where your rights end and theirs begin. Now we get into the conduct of abortion. Now we're talking about prayer in school, et cetera, et cetera. There's no guarantee for prayer in school. I hate to break the news to you. None whatsoever. Don't give me this bullcrap about the Federalist Papers or about the intention of the Founding Fathers or anything else. Nowhere in the Constitution of the United States is the word God mentioned. Nowhere in the... Now listen to me. Before you start calling and acting stupid, because I had a guy call me and say, it is in there. In the Declaration of Independence, maybe, that is not the legal charter of the United States. The freaking Constitution is. They don't mention God in that. It ain't in there. No God, no nothing. And if you wanted to take it off the money, fine with me. You want to keep it, I don't give a crap. It's not bugging me, man. It's not like it's hanging me up because God we trust is on the freaking money. Some guy wants to make a big thing out of his kid having to hear God in school. I think it's a waste of time. She doesn't have to listen to it. But the fact is, there's no legal obligation or right to bring religion into a public school. You want that? I got a great idea. Pray at home. Go to church, send a kid to Sunday school, send him to a private school. Have him join a prayer group outside of school. Whatever you want to do. Here's what I think we need in school. We don't need prayer in school. We need teachers with, have you ever seen these saps that cops used to use? That's what we need. They're little lead, it's like a little lead bag, and you can crack a freaking guy's skull wide open with it. Now, if we gave teachers those, I think that's a great start toward the education of our young people. That's what I want in school. I want saps for teachers and gun belts. You think a prayer is going to help those guys at Columbine or a nice fully loaded automatic weapon? One of those teachers would have had a piece. It would have been maybe a little less of a melee. That's what I want in school. More guns for teachers. Dig it. All right, the Best of Phil Henry Show 2003 double CD available on our website, The Death of Talk Radio. Buy it online at www.philhenryshow.com or on our website. What did I just say? Buy it online or on our website? No, buy it online or by calling 877-616-7445. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, The Temperature at Which Fat Burns, was premiered in New York today, and apparently not everybody liked it. Somebody walked out of the theater and told a reporter it ridicules the American troops in Iraq, makes them look as if they were just taken off the streets and thrown into the field. In other words, it just absolutely mocks the American soldier. This from a man who claims to have their best interests at heart. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Avram, hello.
Phil.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, sir.
I want to say like this. You know, I do believe, I'm a rabbi, a religious Orthodox rabbi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a religious rabbi, Orthodox Jewish rabbi.
Solid. So you're the guy with the curly hair and all that stuff?
No, that's a different sect of Orthodox Judaism. I don't
you're
have that.
You're walking down the street dressed like you're just got off a stagecoach.
No, regular suit and hat, but you know, not quite, not like that. But,
all right.
But I was saying like this: if my boss told me that I got to work on the Sabbath, I'd quit.
No, it's not the same. You see, the boss telling you that you got to work on a Sabbath, he's been able to coordinate his business in such a way as so as Christian and Jewish employees can take certain days off. But let me put you a higher example, if I will. What if your religion dictated that you make a certain amount of money and you can't make less than that?
I mean, there's no such thing, but yeah.
Well, at some point, the state, society, the secular world steps in and says, okay, enough is enough. Now, we've provided for these guarantees religiously, but we are certainly not going to allow a man's business to go in the tank, or for the safe conduct of business to be interrupted by some screwball idea some guy has about his religion. Now, Judaism, Christianity, and the like, we've been able to work around it. I maintain that a man refusing to do a vital part of his job, which is hauling freight, whether it's alcohol or otherwise, that employer's made a decision. Look, I can't have this.
Now, I agree with you that person has no business suing. He should have never taken that job. I would never take a job in McDonald's because I don't eat that stuff, and that's not the type of job that an Orthodox Jew should have. And he should have never taken that job. And he's suing is crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Religion, like I was trying to say, religion has its place in society insofar as it doesn't impede how life is conducted in a reasonable way. But when some guy has a religion, then suddenly he's got these religious dictates that demand something that is unreasonable or something that can't possibly be met by the business of society at large. Society's got to step in the secular world and say, sorry, baby, your religion in this case doesn't count. Like the guy who won't give a blood transfusion to his child. Like this clown that doesn't want to haul beer. You know, it's almost as if, and I don't want to put it, you know, I don't mean to be insulting, but it's almost as if the grown-ups have got to step into the room and go, okay, fun's fun, baby, but, you know, we got to get about the business of life here. What's that? You want to wear the beanie if you want, okay, but you're still hauling the beer. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Get into the mailbag, and this hour we also have a follow-up with Don Parsley. You remember the gentleman we interviewed a couple of weeks ago who said that he thought his wife was dying of cancer, so he went out and had an affair with a girl at work, trying to swing from one vine to the next, as it were, only to find out that his wife did survive the bout with cancer, and he's got this girlfriend. He's not going to give her up. So what's he going to do? Well, that's how we left it, and we're going to follow up with Mr. Parsley to see how things are at his house with him, his wife, and his girlfriend. And we'll also have a list of the best fuel economy cars this month, probably no different from last month, on how you can get a better bang for your buck with gasoline. Yes, sure. As you know, we're a hybrid show, baby. We're a hybrid show, and we believe in hybrids. We do funny voices, and sometimes we just talk. We're a kind of a hybrid. Well, cars should be hybrids, too, so that's where we stand on that. But first, an LAPD officer chased down a man who had apparently stolen a car and was struck by an officer with a flashlight after he apparently surrendered. Apparently being the operative word, because it's time for How to Read a News Story. Kill it.
It's killed.
Now, here's the story on how to read a news story. And the reason why we do this feature on our show is to show you that there is a way of reading the news. You just don't read the story and go, You have to understand the language that is used. You have to understand that in today's modern journalism, there is no more objective reporting. There is definite opinion being inserted into every piece that you read. There was a time, perhaps, when journalists reported objectively. I don't know. But I can tell you, as a man in the world, what I read today, I definitely see opinion being inserted into a story. Case in point. Police today chased a man suspected of driving a stolen car and arrested him in Compton. And news footage showed an LAPD officer hitting him repeatedly with a flashlight after he appeared to surrender. Now, what's wrong with that sentence? What is it about that sentence that is sending you down already the little manicured path that the reporter has prepared for you after he appeared to surrender? What do you mean he appeared to surrender? Are you a cop? well, I'm a reporter. And I've said, well, you're a reporter. And you're saying he appeared to surrender. Now, a better way of writing that might have been, an LAPD officer repeatedly hit him with a flashlight. Traditionally, officers are not allowed to strike suspects after they surrender. It was not clear in this instance, however, if that was the case. It was not clear. He appeared, but you don't know. There's a couple of things that can happen after a guy sticks his hands on his head. Number one, once you get him on the ground, he's supposed to put his hands behind his back. If he doesn't do that, an officer believes it's possible that he is searching for a weapon somewhere on him. If he's not putting his hands where the cop tells him to put his hands, he may have other business to do with his hands. Maybe he needs to zip his fly up. Maybe he needs to pick some food from a back tooth. Or maybe there's a gun in his waistband. All of those possibilities. Now, traditionally, police should not beat you if you're simply trying to pry spinach from between your front teeth. They should not beat you if you're zipping up your fly, although if he tells you to put your hands on your head, he doesn't care if it's hanging out and whipping around in the breeze, baby. Put your hands on your head. I know it's embarrassing. But if you've got your hands under your body and you have not put them on your head, I know he had them on his head when he was in a kneeling position. Once they got him onto the ground, you got to put those things behind you and let them cuff you. In other words, here's what you do. You do what the cop tells you to do. If you don't do what the cop tells you to do, the cop thinks you're not doing what he's telling you to do for some nefarious reason. Police brutality and the traditional stance of some police officers as Klan members, notwithstanding, generally, it works pretty good if you do what the cop tells you to do. I understand many people have many different experiences. When a copper says, get your hands out from underneath your body.
You ever watch Cops?
I'm not talking about Cops right now, bud. And I asked you to get out of here after that whole Michael Moore thing. Now get out of here.
Yeah, but a guy told a guy to put his hand.
I don't care. Laying on your stomach and your hands are not behind you, now those hands might be doing something else. So maybe he had his hands on his head in the kneeling position. The chase began after 5 a.m. LAPD, the guy wasn't released, yada, yada, yada. Patrolling LAPD officer saw a white Toyota Camry that was reported stolen from Compton. They tried in vain, according to police, to pull the vehicle over. Eyewitness news teams aired footage shot from a helicopter that showed the man running down a grassy area near the Compton Creek. He stopped, got down on his hands and knees, and appeared to surrender to an officer. So now they're not even saying that the guy had his hands on top of his head. He was simply on his hands and knees. As a matter of fact, if you're on your hands and knees, you are not in a kneeling position with your hands on top of your head, are you? You're on your hands and knees. Several other officers then ran up, and the man was forced face down onto the ground, where one of the officers struck at the man's upper body at least 10 times with a long flashlight. Reportedly, one officer told a local news station that the man had been resisting. Oh, well, thank you very much for getting to that, all you great people there at Eyewitness News. You know, you may be an eyewitness, but I think you need a monocle or something. I think your eyewitness needs a contact lens. As a matter of fact, I think Eyewitness News has a plastic eye. I think one of the eyes is wonky. Why don't you cats just come right out and say it? Wonky Eyewitness News. If a guy's on his hands and knees, that's not surrendering. That's not doing. Coppers don't want you on your hands and knees unless, of course, they're really sick. Unless they're the sick, twisted kind and, you know, it's been a little lonely around the substation lately. Then they'll ask you to get on your hands and knees. They don't want you on your hands and knees. They want you on your knees, your hands on top of your head. Then they tell you to get down on the ground with your... I've seen cops. You're right, bud. I've seen cops.
Yeah, one time I told a guy to do it. You bet you the cop that tells a guy to get on his hands and knees, what do you think his name is?
What?
The cop that tells you to get on your hands and knees, what do you think his name is?
I don't know. What?
Officer Seymour Butts. Ah-hoo-hoo! Woogie!
What a jackass, man. I'm trying to do a real thing here.
Trying to lighten it up. What about Rescue 9/11? Ever see that show with William Shatner?
Watch how you say Shatner, by the way. Yes, I have.
He got a guy on his hands and knees one time.
Dickman, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to the count of five to get out of here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
TJ Hooker?
Get out of here. Ha ha, Officer Seymour Butts. Gee, you know, man, I'm trying to leave those days behind, you know?
What about Hill Street Blues?
Anyway, a guy that's on his hands and knees ain't surrendering, and when a cop says get down, get down, okay? So the guys over there at Wonky Eyewitness News, they didn't tell us any of that. They just said, whoa, it looked like he was trying to surrender. It didn't look like he was trying to surrender. It looked like he was getting down on his hands and knees for a little afternoon delight. And the cop said, you sick, twisted freak, get down and face. I'm not interested right now. The footage was eerily similar to the infamous video of the beating of Rodney King. Oh, man, you guys. You guys, it's lonely over there at the newsroom, ain't it? No wonder I watch the Channel 5 morning news, and only the Channel 5 morning news. Then I flip over to CNN and Fox, and then it's Disney Radio the rest of the day for me. Thank you very much. What are you doing?
This has got to be the end of the bit. I mean, it's getting dull.
Look at what?
It's the end of the bit, Phil. It got dull.
Well, what do they keep playing the music for?
Wrap it up! Just say it. This is the end of the bit.
This is the end of the bit.
Good, bud.
Thanks, Mr. Hall.
All right, coming up, we're going to be talking about... This is the end of the bit.
Of how to read a news story.
Of how to read a news story.
Great.
All right, coming up, I'm going to be talking to you guys. Get it out of here. Coming up, I'm going to be talking to you guys about some swill. I forget what. 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, after I made that whole big long speech about cops and resisting arrest, Mark said he actually saw the videotape, and it appeared that the cop did overreact because another cop had to come over and remove him from the scene. So let me just say, I hope the guy goes to prison, and of course, that's how I've always felt. My instinct is to say, all right, go man, go, but I want to be a good citizen. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now time for the follow-up with Don Parsley. Don was on our show and basically said, my wife had breast cancer, so I went out and I found me a woman, and my wife miraculously recovered, and I still have this girlfriend. Now, we're going to play a clip from that interview so you can hear some of the things he said, including what's wrong with me going out and finding a woman who's got a perfectly healthy, you know, pair. Because you never know if my wife is going to be missing one. I mean, really insensitive crap like that. Now, we'll listen to that, and in a moment, we'll talk to Mr. Parsley. He is live with us from his home in Fountain Valley, and we'll talk to him about how things have been going with the new girlfriend and wife living at the house. Here's Don Parsley.
Sir, you sound like the most self-serving, selfless, spineless person on earth. You said your wife went out and got cancer. Do you think she went out and bought it at a store? You couldn't even wait till she got her diagnosis, which tells me you already had this other woman lined up. This is not a new thing.
You hold on just right there. I didn't have no woman hold it. No, now hold on just
no, I won't
there.
Hold on.
You hold on to your bloomers there.
You've been talking and you want sympathy. But you're not going to get sympathy from any normal person.
What am I supposed to do with my wife?
You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to act like a man and be by her side.
I am by her side. I ain't getting rid of her.
You're supposed to wait till she gets her diagnosis. then you're supposed to jump for joy. I'll bet you already had this other woman lined up. You've probably been having an affair for some time.
Now listen,
because you found her awfully quickly.
Watch your language talking to this lady.
Listen,
she says I had some this chick lined up on the side, okay?
Well,
I'm about ready to have my wife, and she's not going to have no breasts, so I went out and found a woman with breasts.
Oh, my God, man! Are breasts that important to you? Can't you? What if
you had... Let me think about it for a minute. Yeah. Are you kidding me or what?
Well, then there's something
wrong with you. It's a woman that you love, for crying out loud. I mean, what is love to you, man? This is your partner. This is your...
You almost said the word fart. I heard...
Okay, so I almost said the
no,
word
that
fart.
Would apply to you, not your wife. But let me tell you...
Hey,
you
can I ask a question? When exactly did the bus for the Munchkins pull up? Because I think you missed it. Now, Mr. Henry, when I was trying to...
Have some respect, okay?
She's trying to tell me that I was having an affair.
I said it sounds like it.
Well,
it
guess
sounds
what?
Like it.
Well, maybe you want to get a new hearing aid, because you're wrong. It don't... That's not what happened. What I did, I used to walk into the kitchen when my wife was cooking, and I'd shout, bring out your dead, bring out your dead.
And isn't that a manly thing to do?
It was
my
a joke.
What poor...
You got a woman waiting for
you
got a woman waiting for a cancer biopsy, and so you walk into the kitchen and go, bring out your dead?
And you couldn't even wait for the biopsy to come back? It sounds to me almost like you wanted to be a positive diagnosis. I hope your wife is listening to this.
You know, Betty,
and when you get home, your clothes are out in the street.
Betty, you remind me so much of my mother-in-law, it's scary. And that's why at this time I must ask you, is this Francine Ogerlund? Yes or no?
No, it is not.
That you are a liar? You're my mother-in-law, aren't you?
No, I am not a liar, but I'll tell you
something. You're calling from Rancho Mirage, California, aren't you?
What?
Are you calling from Rancho Mirage, Francine?
No,
I know this is you. No, I know this is you.
No.
This is you, and you've been doing this to me for
15
years.
They're going
to
drop a net over you.
Sounds like her.
Wait a minute.
No, it's her.
No, it is not.
Well, Francine, I want you to hear this loud and clear. I love your daughter very much, and I'm going to stay with her for the rest of the
time. Boy, you know something.
I hate it when you laugh at me. I hate it.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to put a net on you. It's like you left a metropolitan
hospital.
You know
what? I know it's you, because you got that spastic blottle thing going on in the back of your throat.
Are you sure this is your mother-in-law?
I know it as sure as God made green apples. And listen, it's the way she laughs every time.
I am not your mother-in-law, thank God.
You
if I were, I would probably kill
you
myself.
Man,
I'll
cut you.
All right, that was 2 weeks ago. Don Parsley was talking to a woman he believed to be his mother-in-law about his wife, Diane, and his new girlfriend, Marguerite. Now, Diane has recovered from the cancer, and we're very grateful for that. And we've got Don on the line right now, and also Marguerite, the girlfriend. Now, she moved in. Where are you right now, Don?
I'm at the Greyhound bus terminal at Hill Street in Los Angeles.
You were at a bus terminal?
Yeah. So, what you want to ask me, because I've got a bus that's going to Needles, and I'm going to pick up one to Flagstaff from there. And...
So I'm going to take it that things have not worked out?
No. No, they haven't.
What happened?
Well, I came, first of all, I'll just tell you, I went, you know, if you want the long version or the short version?
Well, give me essentially what happened.
Well, I first knew when I went in the car, in the garage, two mornings after Marguerite moved in, I had purchased a brand new 900 series BMW. It was gone. And when I went into the master bedroom, all of the clothes were gone, and as was my wife and Marguerite's clothes. So, if you want me to humiliate myself further...
Did they run off together?
Yeah, and they stole my car. So.
So this is weird, man.
Well, it's humiliating as hell. You know, I mean, here's my wife, who might not have any boob, or maybe just have one boob. You know, whatever. I don't know.
So you move in the girlfriend because you fell in love with her, and the wife and the girlfriend have run off and stole your BMW.
And, you know, they love to stick it in. I mean, there's the old phrase, I've heard it often on your show, stick it in, twist it, and break it off, right?
Yeah.
They left a program from last year's Dinah Shore tournament in the kitchen.
They left a program from last year's Dinosaur, you mean the golf tournament?
Yeah.
And that means what?
Oh, come on.
Okay, what? Is that a lesbian thing?
Yeah, is that a lesbian thing?
Well, is that what it is? I mean...
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, so you're... Well, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for nothing. Okay, that's a bust of needles.
Where are you going, sir?
I don't know.
What? Seriously, where are you going?
Oh, by the way, if she's listening right now, can I just say one thing to my wife's listening? Marguerite, or the girlfriend?
Yeah.
All my Melissa Etheridge CDs, I'd like to have them back. So, I don't care what you guys do, all right? And my softball mitt. So that's all I wanted to say. Also, I got an Indigo Girl DVD, and you stole that too, Diane. Okay?
All right, well, look, they're obviously, they've gone lesbian.
Oh, do you think?
Well, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I got to get the bus to Needles here.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I got a ticket to Needles, then I'm going to go on to Flagstaff, and from there, your guess is as good as any.
You just don't know where you're going?
No. I'm at the highway. Roll me away, won't you roll me away? You know that Seeger song? No. Jesus, how depressing is this? I'm thinking about Bob Seeger music right now. Oh, God, I'm lonely.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, right.
Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's time now for the Phil Henry Show mailbag. Yes, interesting emails that we get from you, and then we read them, and we go, okay, let's read them on the air. And we get a lot of emails, but most of them are illegible. A lot of them are written, you know, by people who leave their mark, stuff like that. You know, please sign your name. If you can't, you know, an X or a paw print, that's not doing it. Phil, your show is absolutely the most entertaining thing on TV or radio today. I've been a loyal fan for many years, and an autographed photo hangs high on my wall. I must, however, disagree with you over the Michael Moore movie. If you're going to criticize him so heavily, I think you should go see the movie. Most of the quotes from the movie you talk about are either false, misquoted, or misrepresented. The movie's actual word usage and intent. At the very least, visit michaelmoore.com. Oh, come on, pal! To read about what he actually argues in his movie. Please keep the laughs rolling, Anthony Woodland Hills. That's precisely what he has done. Forget about his movie. That's precisely been his method. He misquotes. He misconstrues. He takes... What do you call a film clip of President Bush commenting on the war on terror, and then he backs up to hit a golf shot, if not trying to manipulate the image of the president into appearing to be completely unconcerned with the war on terror? As if Kennedy didn't take vacations during the Vietnam War, as if Bush didn't take a vacation during the Gulf War, which he did, by the way, as if Lyndon Johnson didn't take vacations during the Vietnam War, as if Franklin Roosevelt didn't take vacations during World War II. I mean, what exactly is the point of that, other than to misrepresent a man's intentions toward his troops and toward his country? The guy's golfing, yeah. Hey, Michael, you know what? There's a war going on, fat ass. Why are you out making a movie? And how come you were at the Academy Awards? And how come we saw you over there at the Krispy Kreme? And how come you've been paying 16 visits to Penguin's Frozen Yogurt? Yeah. 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 I would like to recommend a shirt for sale on your website. Please make a shirt that says Bobby Dooley Wannabe. I would buy it, and I think others would too. Thanks, Kathleen. Good idea, Kathleen. Phil, your comments on Clinton about getting Osama are ridiculous. Before 9/11, the U.S. and the world looked at terrorism a lot different than they do now. And remember, Osama hit us under Bush's watch. They will hit us again with our borders wide open and unwatched while Bush vacations again. This is from a guy named Stat. Hey, Stat, are you kidding? They hit us while Clinton was president. Do you recall the World Trade Center attack in 93? Do I got to go through this again with some of you people? The attack on the coal. Those were American soldiers that died, by the way. I guess if they didn't hit us on our soil, they only did it once during Clinton's 8 years. They hit the World Trade Center in 93, the coal and the embassies. They butchered up Americans throughout the Clinton administration. Now you say the world looks at things a lot differently now? In other words, the way the world's looking at things now, Clinton's not responsible, Bush is. Okay, if you mean that kind of looking at things differently, I guess you're right. We gotten dumber. Did you notice I said we gotten dumber? You sound just as bad as Michael Moore the way you bash him. Your arguments are full of holes as big as Michael Moore. They couldn't finish the pipeline because of 9-11. I'm sure Richard Clark could not authorize the Bin Laden family to fly. He had to have higher authority. Come on, man. Why don't you talk about all the other BS out there? Michael Moore's not the problem. The ignorance of this country is. Derek Hall. Hey, Derek, Clark did authorize it. And even if it did come from a higher-up, the Bin Laden family completely distanced themselves from their son. They're involved in a company, the Carlyle Group, that the Bush family also has interest in. So I suppose that means that if Miramax does something underhanded, like maybe cheat on their taxes, Michael Moore is guilty of association, right? With a tax cheat. If you happen to work for a company, sir, that gets hauled into court for, say, you know, breaking the environmental laws, I guess you're just as guilty, too. Hey, come on, man. Why don't you send me a letter that makes some sense? I hate you. I hate you so very deeply. I'm kidding. I was listening to your show tonight on my way home from work, and I hear Lloyd Bonafide talking about how his wife was scrubbing their cups in a weird sexual way while looking at an oak tree when he said, "Now that tears..." When he said, "Now that tears it," I broke out laughing so hard I ran my 94 Honda right into a garbage bin at 30 miles an hour. Long story short, my right headlight's broken and my right side mirror is scratched. Look forward to hearing from my lawyer, Brian. I remember when he said that. Oh, that tears it. Dear Phil, I wanted to run this idea by and get your thoughts. My idea is very un-American, but the only way I can see for us to stop the terror for the U.S. We profile the people from what we consider to be terroristic countries and no longer allow them into the U.S. for any reason. No more coming to get college here, but also no more terrorists coming over to the U.S. Of course, this will not end terrorism in the U.S., but it'll be harder for a plane to be flown into our buildings because they will have to hijack a plane for another country. The Muslim community would get upset that we are profiling against them, but just like you said in the past, till our so-called peace-loving Muslims take up issue with these terrorist Muslims, what option have we? Margaret Gray's secret admirer, Chris in Arkansas. As we're already doing, man, anybody that comes from a terrorist-sponsoring country who is under the age of 33 here on a student visa is definitely red flag. You'll notice I didn't say all Muslims. I didn't even say Muslims. I said any man here from a terrorist-sponsoring country who is under the age of 33 and is here on a student visa and is, like, single, yeah, the cat gets looked at. Is that profiling? I mean, you're kidding, right? Not you, Chris, but these people who say, "We're profiling you people." Hey, a guy just robbed a McDonald's. He's 6'4", he's got red hair, and drives a Mustang. Why don't we look for guys that are 6'4" with red hair and driving a Mustang, or is that profiling all of those guys? I'm a loyal listener and past member, and I can't tell you how ecstatic I was to hear that you are planning to challenge Fatso in a debate over the facts from his new movie, Fatten High 9/11. In the words of Bobby Dooley and Lloyd Bonafide, I hope you make mud out of his ass and then leave him... and leave him butt up with a flower in it. Good luck, Chris Wu. Yeah, man, we can only hope the guy is going to take up the challenge. And I can guarantee you, and I can guarantee you this, there is no way that the guy is going to be able to get out of here without lying. Without lying, because I'm going to come loaded for bear, and he's going to have to just flat lie about things. Like, I guarantee if he ever came on my show, you'd hear the phrase, "I never said that." That's why I'm planning on having if not recorded quotes, I will have the actual print quotes in front of me. I will challenge him on his view in 2002 that Osama bin Laden was innocent until proven guilty and that we shouldn't be in Afghanistan. Now, all of a sudden, the guy thinks we should be in Afghanistan. In fact, Then he said we should be in Afghanistan, but not in Iraq. But he also said we didn't send enough troops to Iraq, and we didn't send enough troops to Afghanistan. But the armed forces has too many black soldiers, so he didn't know what the hell he's talking about. So you think he's going to come on this show? I don't think so. 1-800-449-8686. That's our mailbag. And we'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I got to thinking after talking to Don Parsley about Martina Navratilova, who, by the way, is doing smashingly well right now at the, what is it? The French? At Wimbledon. It's Wimbledon. It's June. Wow. All that strawberries and cream jazz and all those guys sitting up there in those little wooden bleachers. I went around Wimbledon, by the way, in a cab. A friend of mine lived in Wimbledon when I was over there in the 80s, and she had a house in the town of Wimbledon, which is like a train ride south of London. It's a suburb, and it has nice, neat suburban cottages. And in the middle of the town is this large wooden construction, this large wooden, tennis stadium called the Wimbledon Tennis Stadium. And, man, you look at this thing, and this cab driver saying to me, you put a match to the thing, it's going to go up to the fire. I can see fire do it. Bloody rat trap, bloody fire trap. I said, that's great, man. Would you mind starting the car now, and we can just kind of go? Oh, so I said, Jesus. We aren't even anywhere near Wimbledon, dude. You're telling me all about it. This is a bloody fire. It's a fire trap. That's right. Say, sir, you ever been to Florida? Yeah, man, I used to work there. I had deep sea fishing there once. It's a lot of fun down there, Florida. I don't have much use for Yanks. And not much use for America. But I like Florida. It's nice there. Lot of deep sea fishing, bone fish and the like. Oh, well, in a bar there one time, got myself right drunk, I did. I said, look at the state of me. I woke up with my face congealed in egg vomit. Anyway, I was thinking about Martina Navratilova, and you remember when she was hooked up with that lady Judy Nelson? See, the reason why it came to mind was because of Don's wife leaving him for this lesbian relationship. Well, Martina Navratilova hooked up with a gal by the name of Judy Nelson in the 80s. You guys remember Judy Nelson? It was a very fascinating story. She was a former beauty queen in Texas. And her son, of which she had three, I believe, was a ball boy, if you'll pardon the expression, for Martina Navratilova. And so she said, well, my son Eddie thought that Martina was really cool and that I should meet her. And so she met her and said as she was driving home, her heart began to beat really fast, the same feeling she'd get for boys. So things progressed like friendships do, according to Ms. Nelson. She realized there was more to it. Martina wanted to know what they should do now, and she said, well, why don't you kiss me? And then the quote is, it snowballed from there. I think that's pretty crude. End quote. Anyway, they fell in love. They moved in together. And Nelson's unofficial title, now, she was married to a doctor, by the way, a man. You know, a lot of guys have a hard time with, geez, my wife left me for another woman. I guess I must be just the ultimate impotent, lover. If I were you, I'd feel like that too. No, I'm kidding. Who knows, man? It's no reflection on you, dude. It's the way of the world, baby. So anyway, so she was her unofficial title with Martina, because she couldn't be her wife, was lover, traveling companion, and maid, for which she was paid $90,000 a year. So Martina gave her wife, or her lover, this Judy Nelson, a salary. Now, this is a mother of three boys, a married, seemingly heterosexual woman who left her husband and sons for her life with Martina Navratilova. Very unusual for a woman not to want custody of her kids, by the way, after a breakup, don't you think? See, just one more reason why lesbians are sick and twisted. I'm kidding. I'm joking around. Anyway, so, and they stayed together for 7 years, making headlines wherever they went. However, the relationship came to an end in 1991. It was then that Nelson filed the much-publicized galimony suit against Navratilova. Now, I don't remember any of it, man. I must have just been asleep, dude. I was in talk radio at the time. It's much-publicized? Anyway, a book was written about the famous lawsuit, written by somebody with the help of Ms. Nelson. It was published in 1993. She decided to set the record straight even further 3 years later with a book called Choices, My Journey After Leaving My Husband for Martina and a Lesbian Life. It chronicled the relationship of this couple. She hit the talk show circuit, yada, yada. Well, now nobody knows where she is, Judy Nelson. As it turns out, she appears to be MIA. Despite thorough research, they're only able to find out bits and pieces of what Judy Nelson's been doing since the release of her book. According to an interview with Martina in The Advocate magazine, they learned that Nelson dated author Rita Mae Brown, another one of Martina's exes, for a short time. That Love Snatches, Reflections on the Martina and Judy Story. Say, who are they kidding with that title, by the way? That's the name of the book. Well, don't point it out, bud.
You did.
I did not. I just...
Love Snatches.
It's the name of the book right here. I'm reading it. Love Snatches, Reflections on the Martina and Judy Story, a one-act play by author Claire Cappelletti based on the couple, was performed at the Montreal Fringe Festival. Boy, they must have been lining up for that one. Oh, my God. I bet you can't get a ticket for that. They contacted the author, but she had no idea where Judy Nelson was these days. Then they located The Stress of Coming Out, an essay at Match.com, which was written by Judy Hill Nelson. They contacted Match.com, and although they knew that the author lived in Texas, they were unable to verify that it was the Judy Nelson. So Judy Nelson left her husband and her sons, moved in with Martina Navratilova for a cool $90,000 a year. 91, they split up, she sues, and then she just disappears, the beauty queen from Texas. Now, a lesbian. This has been Lesbian Chronicles. With me, Bill Burridge. Join us next week when Sally and I will visit the wonderful country of Papua New Guinea on Lesbian Chronicles. Coming up next, the evening news with Dan Rather. The cat goes all around the world on some kind of a travelogue, only he's just looking for lesbians. What in hell? I'm sorry. There is. I find those stories very interesting, and I wish I could share a lot of the things from my own life. Let me just say that, and I don't think there's a man out there that doesn't have the same story to tell. Look, there was a period there that every woman, well, in my 20s, every woman that I dated had been sexually abused as a kid. Every single one. And I didn't ask any. I mean, this just came out in the course of our relationship. Every single one had a story about an uncle or a father that manhandled them. And you know how, yes, utterly demoralizing that is? Utterly sick. Now, yes, I was living in Orlando, Florida, in a fairly white trash tracked area, but still. And then I started, it's like I went through this whole line of girlfriends in the 70s in Florida who had all been sexually molested, and then I met women when I came back to California, and all of them had had a gay relationship of one kind or another in college or sometime in their life, you know? Oh, yeah, I experimented with it. And, you know, women are just like, they're far beyond us. There's just no way that any guy who is not gay is going to experiment with it, unless you're Craig Taylor. Now, I'm kidding around. But hey, you know what? I had an ex-girlfriend who had it. Well, I did too. Okay, that makes number six. I don't know what I'm trying to say other than the fact that I sure hope I ain't married to one of those. Lesbian crunt. Never mind, I'm just kidding. All right, the best of the 2003 double CD, The Death of Talk Radio, is available at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. All of the money that we raise through the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids, or if you will, throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. So the money goes to the greatest people that I've ever met in my life, I'll tell you that. You can buy it online or call 877-616-7445. It's worth every penny. It's our best of CD, The Death of Talk Radio. This is Phil Henry. Good day.